were chatting, Adam and I, about the weekend, we decided, now we know that you're doing a lot on Ephesians already, yeah? We're staying with Ephesians. But sometimes that means different people, like you look at a stone or a gemstone, different things get reflected, don't they, out of it. And that's what we thought, that we would stay in Ephesians, because sometimes actually going deeper in something and seeing different, what God brings out through different ones of us, like a different lens, that might, different things might come to you as well. So we're sticking with Ephesians. And it is just one of those most extraordinary books of the Bible. What an amazing letter. I've always loved it. I love the kind of crazy burst that the first half is. And then actually like the sheer practicality of the second half. But I love the way that Paul writes. It's such an extraordinary letter. So we're going to look at three things, not all this evening, so do not worry. We're going to look at the extraordinary vision, the impossible task, and the great call. The extraordinary vision, the impossible task, and the great call. They're the three things we're going to be unpacking in the three different sessions that we look at. And so this is such a joyous one, the extraordinary vision. This is like we've come away for a weekend and it's time like to recalibrate, take a deep breath and stand on the top of a mountain. I was going out to wherever, you know, it's quite interesting, isn't it, trying to find your room, going out to my room after dinner, and did any of you see the colour of the sunset? Whoa, yeah, wasn't that like a whoa, vision moment. And I want you to imagine, where have you been where you've stood with the most extraordinary vision? You'll have been on the top of a mountain or on top of a large building or even in an aeroplane. You know, I always love the window seat because I can't actually take my eyes away from the window. I can't see why everyone else is doing something else because I'm like, whoa, look at that. Look at that cloud. Look at that bit of land. I just get so excited because you see the world in a different way because you've got a different vantage point and a different view. But if I was actually sitting in that street, I might not be going, wow. But because I can see it from high above, there is something about that vantage point that gives me a new view. And what the Apostle Paul is doing in this day, he's giving us a view, this extraordinary vision, which then helps us to walk back through when we're kind of back down. And so we're starting with that vision from standing on top of a mountain, and we're going to read some of what Paul is ecstatically talking about. I imagine him getting very excited when he was saying this. So let's have a look in chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. Paul was having a great day. The funny thing is, he had every reason to not have a great day. Paul wasn't sitting on a mountain. Paul wasn't in a fantastic coffee shop drinking the best coffee he'd ever had. Paul wasn't like standing there getting engaged or something. Paul wasn't doing any of those things. Paul was sitting in a prison. Don't you just love it? This man is sitting in a prison. He has every reason to be having a really bad day. And he's writing this because he has this different vision. He doesn't see like the here and now. He's got his eyes set on this extraordinary vision that is bursting out of him, which is the vision of God that he began at the beginning, that he will keep on going till the end, that will be brought into completion, of which we have been called into. And this extraordinary vision is of a God of love who even brought about the purposes of creation so that you and I and everybody else might be called in. Others in is the whole of God's plan from the beginning to end. So he started this cosmos not to make beautiful mountains. They're great. But to make beautiful yous and me's and many, many others, and to call us into being and into being in him. His plan was always for the other, always for the other, constantly seeking and searching and creating and being behind and making happen and bringing about for the other. Always. Now, God could have just not bothered. Ever thought of that? Do you know when you ever think, oh, you know, he could have had one of those days. So God was already three. We know that, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, having a fantastic time. What a great loving relationship. Perfect, in fact. The absolute perfect relationship. Why would you ever take the risk? Why take a risk if you've got that perfect loving relationship that has been going from before time and could go on to eternity? Why bother? Ever thought that before? How extraordinary. What a risk to take. To take a risk on other. To go, this isn't everything. There's going to be more love because the love is going to be multiplied through more and more and more and more others that I am going to call in. Because God the Father was creating the most extraordinary thing. A family. A family that would begin at the beginning and never end, that would be eternal, and that would encompass all people and call all people into this extraordinary thing. He could have just said, we're doing great, thanks. We've got the perfect relationship. We'd love it just to stick that way. And it's a little bit of a risk to do something else. Let's look at the next slide. But instead of that, he steps out, doesn't he? And he creates. Because he has in mind others. And he brings into being the others for the family of God. Massive risk, what happens? Oh, bother. I mean, what a risk. And it, like this, it just looks terribly wrong. The fall, extraordinary. Oh, now what do we do? Oh, yeah, actually, do you know what? Should we just go back? We're just like, we could just sort of press the exit plan.
reject, you know, that hasn't worked very well. You know, we had this great idea of bringing in others, but then, do you know what? They just didn't seem to get on the same program. So I'm not sure about the others anymore. And I wonder if we should just cut loose on that. Let it go wherever it wants to. And actually, we'll just go back to being in this perfect relationship. Uh-oh, no, not our God. Because he's determined and he's had a plan from the beginning which he will see right the way through. And that is what the Apostle Paul is grasping. So he goes full, not a problem. We're going to carry on pursuing the others. We are not giving up on human beings. The others, we're going to call them in. We're going to call them back. We're going to do what it takes. We're never going to stop. And he makes this covenant, doesn't he, with Abraham. And in there, we begin to see a little bit more of this glimpse as this extraordinary plan of God unfolds. This extraordinary plan. We get Abraham. Let's grab Genesis 12, 1 to 3, because why not? Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Let's see as this plan begins to unfold. So he says to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household, bit of a risk, to the land I will show you. I mean, we are talking Abraham, who currently here is, it's not looking like this is a likely plan, remember? I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You just hear it all the way through the Bible, don't you? This echo of God for the others. You will be a blessing for the others. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. I have started this. I will not be defeated. We've had a fall, but I am continuing. I am calling you, Abraham, into this covenant. And then you see that. Then we get the whole people of Israel from Abraham. Then we have the prophets always. Let's face it. The prophets always calling the people back because the risk is enormous. The risk is enormous. The people get a bit settled. We've got nice sort of vineyards, and I'm actually really good about, like, just want to grow the business, and actually it's nice in the sunshine. You know, they lose their way. How many times has God said, pull them back? You know, they come out of Egypt and the most extraordinary miracles, and they sit in the desert and have a paddy, quite frankly, don't they? They really do. They have a paddy. Oh, it's not quite what we wanted. I didn't really have this in mind. I haven't had anything for dinner. Oh, and I'm fed up with that bread. And does God give up? No, he's like, I'm going to pursue the other. And I'm going to keep, and he still doesn't go, nah, reject button, I've really had enough. It's just not in his nature. His nature is so faithful. He is so faithful. He's the best long-term planner I have ever met. And he's just like, it's okay. I have the plan. I started this before the beginning of time. I'm going to see it through to eternity. And I'm going to grow this people, the others. And we're going to call them in. And we're going to keep going. And we're not going to give up. So the prophets then are calling them. Oh, and then we have the kings. Oh, I mean, how good does that get? I mean, it's a bit hit and miss, isn't it, with the kings? Some are like, great. Oh, dumpf. I mean, what patience. What patience that God has for the other. He's constantly on his plan. He's not going to let go. He's not giving up. He's never going to give. And if you are ever in a moment of whether God is faithful, just keep on reading the Bible, isn't it? He just doesn't give up on this plan. He is calling others in. That's his plan. That's what the Apostle Paul is bursting with in this passage. And so he brings in Jesus. He brings in Jesus. Jesus, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy,
made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. So the others made such a mess. We just made such a mess. There was nothing else but for God to get so involved that he sent his son. Like, talk about commitment to the others. This isn't a sort of half-hearted maybe. This isn't a standoff God who's made a plan for the others and then kind of is in the boardroom. This is that I moved into the neighborhood and I'm 100% committed. I'm 100% involved. And it's going to take me everything I've got. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. His kindness to us. His kindness to us. The others who are just making a mess. And Jesus comes and he dies and he rises again so that we might be for eternity called into the greatest family on earth. It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't this good news amazing? Isn't it great that we get the chance to come away and recalibrate? This is an extraordinary vision from the beginning of time to the end of time. And God's commitment is 100%. And then it bursts out through the apostles. And it's the formation of the church. And we have been given the baton. We have been given the baton and the calling for our time. We don't want to drop this, do we? We want to learn from our Father and join in. We're not called just to sort of, better our existence. We're called into this extraordinary plan of the most amazing high God. The next slide is a beautiful illustration of this from the Bible Project. Praise God for what he's done in Christ, because he, from the beginning of time, wanted a covenanted family. Whatever it costs, that's the covenant. Whatever it costs, I'm in. It's always been a covenant, a promise, a faithfulness that the thing that he began, he will complete. And he started with Abraham and the Jews, and he's brought all of us in, the Gentiles, and it will be completed. Of every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation, because our God is not a God who fails. And what he has begun, he will complete. And this is the ecstatic, extraordinary vision that is keeping the Apostle Paul alive in prison. You cannot keep him down because he has got a different vision. He's walking to a different tune. It's like he's tuned in. He's not tuned into the surroundings of a prison cell. Who cares? He's tuned in to the eternal purposes of Almighty God. And he knows that Jesus died for him. Jesus called him in. And for in all the ages, the incomparable kindness of a merciful God will be demonstrated through us, because God has pursued the other and it is relentless. And he will not fail. I love this picture, forgiveness and grace. And so he's calling others in. He's always had a plan. He's 100% faithful because he began it. The baton has come to us. And one of the key things we need to do this weekend is understand who we are. Who are we that we can live out of this extraordinary vision that we can see? And that's what Paul is trying to explain to us. Who are you? You've been called in. You are one of the, you are another in the others. Do you mean you are another now? You are no longer distant. You are another. You've been called into a covenanted family. And the next slide is going to help us understand all the ways in Ephesians that that he is speaking to us. The Apostle Paul is saying, we are God's possession. He owns us. Jesus gave his lifeblood. That's the cost. He's not going to let go of that possession. We are his possession. We're his very own. It is entirely underpinned by God's promises and his covenant. It's completely solid. My resurrection and your resurrection is entirely solid in the resurrection of Jesus. My eternity, your eternity, our eternal part in whatever the next piece of this extraordinary journey with Jesus is going to be, is 100% solid, because it's underpinned in Jesus who's rose from the dead, and it's underpinned in the covenant of a faithful God. And it is God's plan. And if it was faithfully fulfilled by Jesus, it will be faithfully fulfilled all through eternity. It's God's initiative, not ours. Oh, hallelujah for that. It will be completed by God. Let's face it. We've had empires against this. We've had human sin and failure against this. We've had kingdoms come and kingdoms go. That's all of that history. So many times set against the people of God and this covenant family. And none of them has made a scratch, a dent, or an impact. None of them. We're part of the fastest growing family on earth right now. And right now in the UK, God's doing extraordinary things, calling people into his family. This is amazing, and it's permanent. This is the permanent vision. This is the permanent vision, and it's a deposit by the very Holy Spirit. You have the deposit of God himself by his Spirit in you that makes this sure and certain. And what is our response? Because he's calling us into this plan with him. And he's saying to us, it's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn to call others in. Does that make sense? Just as he has been relentless and on it and never stopped calling others in, that's what we are to do. We're all about the other. If you thought you were here for a self-help check or whatever it is, you're in the wrong gathering. This isn't about us. It's about them, because that's how God is. I mean, we have a lovely, perfect, well, who knows? But I expect you look perfect to me. This lovely, perfect relationship, body-bound church. It's not enough. I'm so sorry, but it's just not enough. Because I know the person who's behind this. God didn't stop, did he, in that perfect relationship at the beginning of time. He didn't pause there and say, it's enough. He said, we will pursue, we will create, we will go after, we will bring in, we're going for the others. If you're wondering what your purpose is here on earth, that's your purpose. Your purpose is the same purpose as the God who's called you purpose. It is all about the others. And he's calling us to the same calling. And are you in with him? If we've been called by him, named by him, owned by him, he wants to know, this is a bit hilarious, but are you all in? Are you all in? With the others in. It's really very simple. Are you all in? The good thing is it doesn't rely on us. We're going to skip the next slide. Skipping that one as well. Just want to say one little quick thing. This isn't all on us. This is on the faithfulness of Jesus. So when we talk about putting our faith in Jesus, that's not about us having enough faith to believe that God could rescue us. Does that make sense? That's a misinterpretation of the word belief or faith. This is about allegiance. Lord of the Rings. Any of you watch Lord of the Rings?
Good, a few of you have. Okay. Maybe I think medieval times. So think Queen Elizabeth I. People gave, they used the word fealty. I give my fealty, I give my allegiance. And you swore allegiance to the king. And you said, everything I am, I give to your service. Everything I am, I give to your service. And then you trust that king of that kingdom to be what you need as well as what you give. I'm not sure if I'm making sense. So it's like medieval. This is what this means. So when you say, I put my faith in Jesus, that's not me in a modernist way giving my intellectual assent to some to a whole pile of belief statements. That's not what this is about. When I put my faith in Jesus, I am swearing my allegiance to the King of Kings and then trusting his faithfulness. And his faithfulness is enough, which means we're in for eternity. But as we do that and swear our allegiance in, we bring everything we've got and we put it at the feet of Jesus and we say, now everything that I am and all that I have is yours. And we join in his call and we join in his kingdom. And his call and his kingdom is all as it has ever been. Go bring the others in. So we can trust that it's solid. That's the faithfulness of Jesus. That's what it rests on. Not my faith, not my faith levels. It's not your faith levels. It's Jesus's faith level. And that's strong. We've seen that right the way through. Solid, solid, solid. What he's asking for is our entire allegiance. That's everything you own, everything you possess. That's all of your dreams, every vision, every ounce of who you are. That's the fealty. That's the allegiance. I swear my allegiance. I give my allegiance to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I trust on his faithfulness. I trust on his faithfulness for now and for eternity. And I give all that I am, every piece of what I am, everything that I own, everything in. That's what I do. So he's asking this evening, are you all in to bring others in? And the good thing is that we can trust him because those extraordinary prayers, the extraordinary prayers that he has left us again in this passage, that he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So as we give our all, he will do more than we can imagine. And so this evening, it's really simple. God, from the beginning of time, has always been about the other. We're called to join in with his mission, and he wants to know if we're all in. Amen.